26, Section 3, Georgia's Physical Features. As you read, look for major rivers of Georgia, the barrier islands and their uses, the Okefenokee Swamp and similar wetlands, terms, wetland, estuary, barrier island, swamp. Georgia's diverse environment has many physical features. In non-drought years, Georgia gets ample rainfall, and all that water runs into the state's waterways. Georgia's many rivers and streams provide water for drinking, for recreation, for irrigation, and for industry. Some of the state's waterways flow southwest across Georgia and empty into the Gulf of Mexico. Most flow southeast to empty into the waters of the Atlantic Ocean. The state's sea islands, sometimes called the Golden Isles, protect the coastline of the mainland and have been used for many purposes throughout Georgia history. Georgia also has many swamps. One of the most interesting areas in the state is the large Okefenokee Swamp in southeastern Georgia. In this section, we will learn about the important features of Georgia's land. Rivers. Georgia's wide system of rivers is crucial to the state. The rivers provide habitat for thousands of species of plants and animals. Before the invention of railroads, they were the water highways for humans and the goods they traded. Now they not only provide drinking water for many areas of the state, but they also generate hydroelectric power at the many dams and cool the reactors at facilities that provide nuclear power. Rivers are also the source of much pleasure for Georgians who love to hike along their banks, canoe and kayak, swim and ski. Georgians also simply enjoy the river's beauty, from the waterfalls of the northern headwaters to the marshes of the southern estuaries. Both the rivers and the wildlife they support are threatened in modern times by overuse and pollution. Citizens must make caring for these natural treasures an important part of the future. Etowah and Coosa Rivers. With headwaters in the mountains above Dahlonega, the Etowah River flows south and west toward Alabama. A dam built across the river in 1955 created Lake Altoona. Further down the Etowah was the home of the early Indians who built the now famous Etowah Mounds. In Rome, the Etowah River meets the Oostenaula River to form the Coosa River. The Coosa River flows west until it reaches the Alabama border about 30 miles from its beginning. In that state, it changes names twice again before it empties into the Gulf of Mexico at Mobile. The Etowah-Coosa River system is home to many species of fish, snails, mussels, and darters. The Georgia Department of Natural Resources and some nonprofit environmental groups are working hard to protect this diversity of water life and restore species that are in danger. Chattahoochee River. The flat, grassy marshes of Glenn County were not the only area in Georgia to inspire poet Sidney Lanier. One of his most famous poems extols both the beauty of the Chattahoochee River in the northeast and its uses in the southern plain. His 1877 poem, written as though the river itself is speaking, says, "Out of hills of Habersham, down the valleys of Hall, I hurry amain to reach the plain, run the rapids and leap the fall. I am fain for to water the plain, the dry fields burn and the mills are to turn." Page 30. The Chattahoochee River begins in the Blue Ridge Mountains and flows southwest through Atlanta and then over the Fall Line at Columbus. From there until it crosses into Florida and down to the Gulf of Mexico, it forms Georgia's western boundary with Alabama. In Florida, the Chattahoochee River takes a different name, the Apalachicola. The Chattahoochee River is a very important source of water for Georgia, Alabama, and Florida. How that water is used has been a source of tension and conflict among the three states. Flint River. The Flint River does not begin in the mountains as most rivers do. It begins south of Atlanta near the Hartsfield-Jackson International Airport. Its headwaters, source, come from the groundwater, and it becomes larger with each tributary, streams and creeks that flow into a larger river. The Flint River flows for over 200 miles before reaching the first dam, which created Lake Blackshear. The dams at both Lake Blackshear and Lake Cheehaw provide hydroelectric power. The Flint River runs through Albany toward the southwest corner of Georgia, where it meets the Chattahoochee River at Lake Seminole. Page 32, Chattooga River. The Chattahoochee River is only one of the rivers that forms a border with another state. Also arising in the Blue Ridge Mountains is the Chattooga River, which is the northeastern boundary between Georgia and South Carolina. With its destination as a National Wild and Scenic River, the Chattooga is managed by the National Park Service. After flowing for about 50 miles, the river ends at Tugaloo Lake, formed by the confluence, meeting, of the Chattooga and Tallulah Rivers. The Tallulah River begins in North Carolina and flows south into Georgia. Over time, it has carved the 1,000-foot-deep canyon called Tallulah Gorge with its six awe-inspiring waterfalls. In the late 1800s, the town of Tallulah Falls was a major resort, with the railroad bringing in tourists from all over the country. When the Chattooga and Tallulah Rivers flow out of the lake, they form the Tugaloo River. At Hartwell Lake in Hart County, the river joins with the Seneca River of South Carolina to become the Savannah River. Page 34, Savannah River. The Savannah River forms the eastern boundary separating Georgia and South Carolina. Unlike the Chattahoochee and Flint Rivers, the Savannah River flows to the southeast and empties into the Atlantic Ocean about 13 miles after it passes the city of Savannah. Because of its position near the mouth of the river, Savannah is one of the busiest ports in the United States. Huge ships come into the port from all over the world. The Savannah River crosses the fall line at Augusta. Along its path to the sea, it is joined by several important waterways, including Keokee Creek, Briar Creek, and Ebenezer Creek. Downstream from Augusta is the Southeastern Natural Sciences Academy, which includes the beautiful Fenaise Swamp, a wetlands that is home to many species of wildlife. Wetlands are low-lying areas where water lies close to the surface. The lower Savannah River also includes swamps. Near the city of Savannah, the river's estuary, the wide part of the river where its current meets the tidal ebbs and flows, creates three branches. The shallow Back River and Middle River feed into the Savannah National Wildlife Refuge. The Front River flows past Savannah's Riverwalk with its restaurants and shopping. The Savannah River is dammed in three places, forming Hartwell Lake in Hart County, Russell Lake in Elbert County, and Lake Thurman, also known as Clark's Hill Lake, in Columbia County. The river is important to both Georgia and South Carolina, not only for drinking water for the large cities of Savannah and Augusta, but also for two nuclear facilities, the Savannah River site in Aiken County, South Carolina, and Plant Vogtle in Burke County, Georgia. Page 36, Ogeechee River. One of the most natural rivers in Georgia is the Ogeechee, which begins with a north and south fork in the Piedmont and flows all the way to Asaba Sound south of Savannah. The Ogeechee's clear waters become darker as the river takes on decaying materials along its route. Before it reaches Savannah, the Ogeechee River is joined by the Canoochee River. Because of its undeveloped state, the Ogeechee is a favorite of canoeists and wildlife lovers. Visitors to the river, however, have to be on watch for dead trees in the water as well as cottonmouth snakes and alligators. Oconee River. The next major river to the west is the Oconee, which begins in the northeast mountains of Hall County. The North and Middle Oconee Rivers join near Athens to form the Oconee. The Apalachee River joins the Oconee River at Lake Oconee, a man-made lake created by a Georgia Power Company dam completed in 1980. An earlier dam on the Oconee had created Lake Sinclair further downstream. The Oconee River meets the fall line at Milledgeville, the capital of Georgia from the early 1800s until the seat of government moved to Atlanta after the Civil War. Dublin is another city on the river's route. Ocmulgee River. South of Atlanta, three rivers, the Yellow, the Alcovy, and the South, come together behind the Lloyd Shoals Dam. The dam, built in 1910 in Butts County, formed Lake Jackson. The river that flows out of Lake Jackson is the Ocmulgee River. The river crosses the fall line at Macon and enters the coastal plain. A smaller tributary, called the Little Ocmulgee River, goes through McRae and joins the Ocmulgee south of Lumber City. The Ocmulgee and the Oconee Rivers merge to become the Altamaha River a few miles further downstream. In this area was the wiregrass region of longleaf pines. In the 19th century, the lumber industry was an important part of the area's economy. Page 38, Altamaha River. The Altamaha River runs southeast across the coastal plain to its destination at the Atlantic Ocean near the town of Darien. Along the way, it is joined by the Ohoopee River, which begins in the coastal plain. The Altamaha River, rich with soil and plant life, is one of Georgia's black water rivers, called that because of its dark coloring. 18th century traveler William Bartram, who studied the natural environment of Georgia, called the Altamaha a large, majestic river. It is the single largest river drainage basin in the southeastern part of the country. Along its banks, Bartram and his father John discovered a new species of plant they named Franklinia, or Franklin tree, in honor of fellow Pennsylvanian Benjamin Franklin, one of the founding fathers of the United States. The estuary of the river is the area of marshes described in Sidney Lanier's poem quoted earlier in this chapter. The river and its banks are home to a rich diversity of fish, birds, snakes, and frogs, as well as mammals like beaver, fox, and wild pigs. Two other rivers flow into the Atlantic Ocean south of the Altamaha River. The Satilla River, another black water river, begins near Fitzgerald, passes through Waycross, and flows into the Atlantic Ocean between the towns of Brunswick and St. Mary's. The St. Mary's River forms part of Georgia's boundary with Florida. The St. Mary's River has a big bend, or dog leg, caused by a large sand ridge. Behind the ridge, water pooled to form the Okefenokee Swamp. Page 39. Islands. The southern portion of Georgia's eastern border is the coast of the northern Atlantic Ocean. This body of salt water separates the United States from the continents of Europe and northern Africa. The current of the Gulf Stream system keeps these waters warm. 4 to 6 miles off Georgia's mainland are the Golden Isles, a series of islands that face the Atlantic on the east. On the island's western side are the natural marshy waters that separate them from the mainland. In Georgia's early history, small vessels could use these waters to go up and down the coast without having to venture into the ocean. In the late 1930s, the federal government created the Intracoastal Waterway by deepening the channel and keeping it dredged, cleaned out, so larger boats could use the waterway. These islands are constantly changing land formations, blown by the wind and molded by the waves and water currents of the mighty Atlantic Ocean. From the mouth of the Savannah River at the northern end of the coast, going south toward Florida, are Tybee and Little Tybee, Wausau, Osaba, St. Catharines, Blackbeard, Sapelo, Wolf, Little St. Simons, Sea, St. Simons, Jekyll, Little Cumberland, and Cumberland Islands. Over time, these islands have been home to Native Americans, Spanish missions, rice, indigo, Sea Island cotton, and sugar plantations, winter getaways for wealthy northerners, and modern resorts. The mainland is directly connected to four, Jekyll, Sea, St. Simons, and Tybee, by bridges and causeways, dry passages over wet areas. The others must be reached by boat. Some were formed only a few thousand years ago. Others are up to 40,000 years old. The state of Georgia owns three islands, Little Tybee, Osaba, and Sapelo, except for the over 400-acre African-American community on Sapelo known as Hog Hammond. The U.S. National Park Service runs Cumberland. Blackbeard, Wausau, and Wolf Islands are national wildlife refuges. These barrier islands are so called because they protect the mainland from strong winds and waves. They all have several common characteristics. The eastern sides that face the Atlantic Ocean have sandy beaches. Near the water, the sand is fine quartz, densely packed into a hard surface. Beyond the beach are sand dunes held in place partially by plants such as sea oats. The farther inland one travels, the softer the dunes become. These eastern beaches are constantly eroding as the waves and sometimes storms move the sand. Sea walls of stone have been placed to try to slow the erosion. Beyond the dunes are grasses and shrubs. Beyond those are the interior forest with trees such as magnolias and live oaks with hanging Spanish moss. On the sides of the islands facing the mainland are saltwater marshes. Here, people can catch fish, shrimp, and crab. The islands are home to many animals. Ducks and wading birds are common. So are alligators and snakes, turtles and frogs. Smaller animals like rabbits and squirrels are numerous. Page 41. Many of the islands have interesting stories. Blackbeard Island got its name from the 18th century pirate Edward Teach, whose nickname was Blackbeard. No buried treasure has ever been found on the island, in spite of rumors that such a treasure existed. In 1914, Blackbeard Island became a wildlife preserve by order of President Woodrow Wilson, who grew up in Georgia in the mid-1800s. The largest of the islands is Cumberland. Catherine Green, the widow of Revolutionary War hero Nathaniel Green, built a house on the island in 1786, which she called Dungeness. That house burned down. In the 1880s, on the foundation of that house, Thomas Carnegie, younger brother of Andrew Carnegie, built a mansion named for the earlier Dungeness. His wife Lucy inherited his estate and built three houses for her children that are still standing: Plum Orchard, Grayfield, and Stafford. Unfortunately, the second Dungeness burned in the 1950s, but the ruins are still there for visitors to explore. Another historic site is an African-American church built in the 1930s. Endangered loggerhead sea turtles build their nest on the barrier island beaches to lay their eggs. Jekyll Island is the home of the Georgia Sea Turtle Center. When the Europeans first settled the area, the Spanish called Jekyll Island the Island of Whales because they could watch right whales swimming offshore. Today, there may be fewer than 350 of these animals in the world. In the late 1800s, Jekyll Island became home to many of the country's wealthiest men: banker J.P. Morgan, newspaper owner Joseph Pulitzer, department store founder Marshall Field, and others were members of the Jekyll Island Club. In the early 20th century, Sapelo Island became home to Howard Coffin, a leader in the automobile industry and later in aviation. Coffin and his wife bought the island and built a mansion on the ruins of sugar planter Thomas Spalding's plantation home. There, the Coffins entertained the country's leaders, including Presidents Coolidge and Hoover. Realizing the attraction of the climate and beauty of the barrier islands, Coffin purchased large tracts of land on St. Simon's Island, and he bought Sea Island. On these, he helped develop the tourist industry. Sea Island is still home to his upscale resort, The Cloister. Although Georgians probably think of these islands more as places of recreation, resorts, and ecological research, they still serve the environmental purpose of protecting Georgia's mainland from the direct currents and winds of the Atlantic Ocean. Their beaches, forests, and marshes are important wildlife habitats, and their beauty still inspires us. Page 42, Swamps. Georgia is home to over 450 swamps. These land formations are low, sometimes spongy land, usually covered with water. They are very important wildlife habitats. In fact, swamps are one of the reasons Georgia has so many different species of plants and animals. While most swamps are in the coastal plain, Georgia does have Piedmont River swamps above the fall line. The Alcove River near Atlanta has more swamps than other rivers in the Piedmont. Located in the southeast portion of the state, with a small part in northern Florida, the Okefenokee is Georgia's largest and best-known swamp. In fact, it is the largest swamp in the country, with almost 700 square miles, 402,000 acres. The swamp formed thousands of years ago after the ocean receded to its present boundary. A sandbar separated the land from the ocean, and the low-lying land or basin filled up with fresh water. The leaves and dead plants that fell into the water created peat, a mass of decaying plant material that absorbs water. Trees grow on floating islands of peat. A person can walk on peat, but it is spongy and shakes. That is why the Native Americans call the Okefenokee the land of the trembling earth. Not all areas of the Okefenokee are peat. Prairie areas of the swamp have no trees, but are covered with grasses. The swamp also has dozens of lakes. The water of the swamp comes from rain, about 50 inches in a normal year. The swamp can be on the path of tropical storms from the Gulf of Mexico and from the Atlantic Ocean. Sometimes these storms include dangerous lightning that can spark swamp fires. Page 43. Most of the water that leaves the swamp from the western end goes into the Suwannee River, and then into the Gulf of Mexico. The water that flows from the eastern part of the swamp goes into the St. Mary's River, which empties into the Atlantic Ocean. Visitors to the Okefenokee are greeted by a chorus of animal sounds, including croaking frogs and singing birds. Paddling through the canoe trails or walking along boardwalks over the shallow rivers, visitors can see alligators, snakes, lizards, and frogs. In summer and fall, migrating birds rest in the Okefenokee on the way to their homes for the next season. Wading birds, including storks and cranes, feed there. In the winter, ducks make their homes in the wetlands. The bright red of a red-cockaded woodpecker stands out, as do the colors of a rainbow snake. Otters and beavers live and play in the water. On drier ground, the gray fox, deer, and black bear roam. Turtles can be seen enjoying the sun. The Okefenokee Swamp is also home to many different kinds of plants. Pine and cypress trees fill its forest. In the early 20th century, however, logging activities carried off many of the trees. Grasses and sedges cover the prairies, while water lilies float in the wetter zones. Insect-eating plants are some of the more interesting swamp species. Some catch insects with a sticky substance on their leaves, while others have traps that close when something touches them. The importance of this geographic treasure has been recognized by our national government. In the 1920s and 1930s, Franklin Delano Roosevelt visited Georgia for health treatments. He had been paralyzed from his waist down by a viral disease called polio. At Warm Springs in western Georgia, Roosevelt built a home where he could come to soak in the healing waters bubbling up from the underground. Shortly after building his home, Roosevelt became President of the United States. His connection to Georgia and its people led him in the mid-1930s to designate 80% of the swamp a national wildlife refuge. In the mid-1970s, over 350,000 acres of the swamp received the additional protection of becoming a national wilderness area. Few states are so fortunate to have the geographic diversity of Georgia. Rich in resources of water, minerals, soils, plants, and animals, Georgia has been able to provide its human inhabitants with life and livelihood for thousands of years. Its moderate climate and natural beauty have made it an appealing place to live and visit for generations of humans, from the Paleo-Indians to modern Georgians. Each generation has the duty to care for the land and use its resources wisely, so the state will remain a geographic treasure for thousands of years to come. Reviewing the section. 1. Define wetland, estuary, swamp. 2. Which Georgia rivers flow into the Gulf of Mexico? Which flow into the Atlantic Ocean? 3. Why did the Native Americans call the Okefenokee the land of the trembling earth? Page 44. Discovering Georgia. Amicalola Falls. The highest waterfall in Georgia and the highest one east of the Mississippi River is Amicalola Falls, located near Dawsonville in Dawson County. Starting in the mountains, the Amicalola River runs along a ridge until it comes to a ledge. There, the water drops 729 feet, sometimes falling free and sometimes cascading over rocks on the way down. Its name comes from the early people who lived in the area, the Cherokee. Amicalola is a Cherokee word meaning tumbling waters. Amicalola Falls is one of Georgia's seven natural wonders. Its waters eventually flow into the Etowah River. The land in the area was once Cherokee land. After the discovery of gold in nearby Dahlonega, however, settlers began to move onto Cherokee land. In 1832, one of those Georgians wrote, "I have discovered a waterfall, perhaps the greatest in the world, the most majestic scene that I have ever witnessed or heard of." In the 1950s, the state of Georgia established the Amicalola Falls State Park, which includes the falls and several hundred acres around it. In the park, a visitor can hike the over 8-mile trail that leads to Springer Mountain, where the Georgia portion of the Appalachian Trail begins, or ends, depending on which direction you are going. Other hiking trails allow the visitor to see the falls at both the top and the bottom, and to enjoy the beautiful natural environment of the park. The best views of the falls are in the winter and early spring before the trees have leaves. In the fall, however, the hardwood trees turn the beautiful shades of red, gold, and orange of the season. Visitors to this popular state park can camp, hike 5 miles to the inn, or stay in cottages or the lodge. Page 46. Chapter Review. Chapter Summary. Section 1. Geographic Regions. Georgia is divided into 5 geographic regions: the Appalachian Plateau, the Valley and Ridge Area, the Blue Ridge Mountains, the Piedmont, and the Coastal Plain. The Appalachian Mountains, one of the oldest mountain chains in the world, run through northern Georgia. The Appalachian Plateau region is in the extreme northwest corner of the state and is somewhat isolated from the rest of Georgia. The Valley and Ridge region is characterized by long, parallel ridges and valleys. The Blue Ridge Mountains region also has ridges and valleys, which are popular with tourists and outdoors lovers. The highest point in the state, Brasstown Bald, is in this region. The Piedmont region has rolling hills, and its soil is distinctive for its red color. Agriculture and forestry have been important to the region's economy. The fall line separates the hard rock of the Piedmont from the softer, sandier soil of the coastal plain. The coastal plain region is the largest region in the state and is divided into an upper coastal plain and lower coastal plain. The upper coastal plain contains many of the state's aquifers. The lower coastal plain includes the coastline and the barrier islands. Section 2, Climate and Weather. Climate refers to the average weather of a region over a long period of time. Weather refers to the day-to-day conditions and changes in the atmosphere. Georgia has a temperate climate. Georgia goes through periodic droughts. Tornadoes are rotating funnel-shaped columns of air that reach down to the ground from storm clouds. While tornadoes can occur any time of the year, Georgia sees most of its tornadoes March through May. Georgia is also affected by occasional hurricanes, tropical storms with very strong winds, heavy rains, and sometimes storm surge. Section 3, Physical Features. Major rivers include the Chattahoochee, Flint, Chattooga, Savannah, Ogeechee, Oconee, Okmulgee, and Altamaha. Georgia's Golden Isles are a series of 14 barrier islands which protect the mainland from strong winds and waves. The Okefenokee Swamp is located in southeast Georgia and is the largest swamp in the country. Page 47 contains other review materials for this chapter.